Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Motherlode Podcast. We are your alternative parenting show. I'm Constance Zimmer.
And I'm Missy Pyle.
Listen, we all know parenting is fucking messy. Everything you see is a lie. We all know it.
And we want to rip the Band-Aid off of being a parent. Okay, everybody, hi. Today's episode is about nutrition, but not just nutrition. It's also about school lunches and snacks and how to make good food for your whole family quickly and efficiently.
Because you're going to be making at least 2 to 3 meals a day for at least 18 years.
Let's not depress them right off the morning.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to talk to the amazing Catherine McCord. She's founder of WeLicious, which is a site centered around helping kids become great eaters and giving you some great recipes.
And she's got a couple of cookbooks, and she is amazing. So listen, because I'm also going to reveal a couple of my tips and hacks that Catherine didn't even know about. Crazy.
You taught Catherine some things.
Oh, I schooled her on nutrition.
And she's also going to tell you how many times you got to throw broccoli at your kid before your kid's going to like it.
Yeah, yeah. What? Come on, nutrition in the house.
Hope you're hungry for some great tips.
Hey. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Constance.
Welcome to our podcast.
Thanks for coming. If you like it, will you subscribe and tell your friends?
And then they'll tell two friends.
And
then they'll tell two friends.
And so on. And then I have to, I wanted to tell you.
Anyways, what's going on in your life as a parent, Missy?
So, okay. So, like, I was having the greatest time with my daughter. Because I had gone to see this person who told me something I'll tell you in just a second. And I was really working for me. And then I had to go to Comic-Con for 3 days, and I chose not to bring her, and it was really intense. And she stayed with her dad, and they really bonded and had a great time. I mean, they do play the whole time.
By the way, we have to comment on that you are now calling him her dad.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing that for a while, and he did move in. The idea is he's going to adopt her. It's a bit more complicated than just, like, you know, running to the courthouse. That's theoretically.
That's exciting.
It is very exciting. He's
new
a great
addition to your life,
Dad.
Yes, and parenting
and he
situation.
Did, yeah, it is crazy because I was doing it by myself, even though he was helping me and his family. And my sister lives in town. I live near my. I mean, like, I have a lot of help, but having another person in the house to help you in the morning is like holy shit, amazing. Because, like, I'll wake up with her and play with her, whatever, and then he wakes up and plays with her a while. I quickly go get her lunch together. Get the breakfast, like all that stuff I had to do and try to get myself together and try to get her together. So I was gone for 3 days. I came home and she was, you know, just a little less interested in me. And then yesterday, I picked her up from school. We came home and I was ready to play. We were playing with the hose outside as she got all of her clothes wet. And I tried to get her to take her tennis shoes off because I knew they were going to get soaked and she wanted to keep them on. I was like, you understand they will be very wet and they probably won't ever fit exactly the same. And, you know, she didn't, but I let her do it anyway. And then she went to go inside and she was wet and cold and I couldn't get her to take her shoes off before we went inside. And she had a meltdown for like 10 minutes just at the door crying, you know, looking at me and then being like, I want to watch something. And she tried to hit me several times and then she went to watch. This moved into the bedroom and I have been trying to remain calm in these because I do get triggered and I have my first response is like, you know, I had seen this woman over like a couple weeks ago who was kind of like a therapist, kind of like a physical body healer. And the one thing she said to me, she goes, you know, sometimes you, when your daughter comes to you at a certain way, you know, you don't really know how you're supposed to respond. So then you go to like the folder where the proper response would be based on like how you were raised as a child and the folder is empty. And I thought, holy, it was such an amazing image for me. The idea that like some behavior comes at me and I go to try to figure out, you know, based on my intuition and my past or whatever, how to react to it and it's empty. And so I have to kind of in the moment figure out what to do. And like you as like a child maybe didn't get the right parenting. You know, you didn't get the kind parenting. You didn't know what to do because that was never modeled to you. So maybe what you should do in that moment is like just kind of pick up the baby you, put you over your shoulder and go, gotcha. I gotcha, Betty. And then to your daughter, do the same thing. So at the side, while you're soothing her.
Because you almost need to allow yourself to take a beat before you react. And a lot of times we just don't.
Or just like, I'm sorry that we don't know exactly what to do right this moment. Let's take a moment. We're just going to calm you down and then calm her down. And then.
Yeah, because you can't calm a kid down if you're not calm.
Exactly. And it's been working really well.
Oh, that's good.
So I would say this week for me, what I'd like to share is I got you, buddy. And sometimes it's not just for your kid. It's for yourself.
It's for yourself. And I think we all need it more for ourselves sometimes more than for our kids. Because if we don't have our own back, nobody does. It's a lot to take in, you know.
What about you?
My 11-year-old possibly has a quote-unquote boyfriend, which is really quite funny because it's very innocent. They don't know what it means to be called a boyfriend and a girlfriend, right? Like, I think back in my time, it was like, do you want to go steady?
Or do you go with me?
You want to go with me? And it wasn't like labeled already as something, boyfriend, girlfriend. I think that they were pushed and pressured into it because everybody knew that they had admitted that they liked each other. And so then everyone was like, what's the next step?
Sure.
Oh, they had their first kiss on the cheek. What's the next step? Like so much of these kids today is about what's the next step? Can you label it as? What can it be considered? What can we call you? It isn't just like, just exist and be happy that you have somebody and you guys both like each other. It's so cute. But what was fascinating to me that I didn't know was going to happen was they went on a date, you know, we dropped them off at the movie theater and then came back and got them. And then they went to dinner and we made reservations for them, a two top, and they sat on the other side of the restaurant and we sat in another area of the restaurant where they couldn't see us and we couldn't see them.
Just you two, not all four.
No, all four parents.
Oh my God. Yes.
So all four parents sat at our own table and they sat at their own table and we couldn't see them really. I mean, I could see like the back of their heads, but this is all so innocent, right? And what I heard from a friend is that another friend of mine thinks that all of this is incredibly inappropriate and that kids this age shouldn't be talking at all about boyfriend and girlfriend and shouldn't be going on dates. And I have to say, I was like, what? It's so fucking innocent. Like, and I did find that this is going to sound bad, but it's not very often.
I can't believe you got mommy shamed about that.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I think it's to be mommy shamed on something like so simple and subtle and innocent and like what would have been acceptable to say, no, do not tell that boy you like him. Do not accept that he likes you. When, by the way, that was all brought into their brains from a sex ed teacher in fifth grade last year. That didn't come from me. Then.
You are very sexy though, you know. You.
It's funny because like they don't even hold, you know, they hold hands in the dark, you know, that we went to Disneyland and like they held hands on the like Haunted Mansion ride and like it's in the dark.
Motherlode after dark.
I guess I'm so mad because it feels so innocent and so sweet and such a great thing to communicate with your kids about affection and how to show it and when to show it and when it's appropriate and when it's not appropriate and how he keeps asking, like, can I hold your hand? And like, you know what I mean? It's the sweetest, most innocent thing ever. And for a mom to be like, I don't agree. It's so inappropriate. What are you doing? I want other people's opinion. That's what I want.
I just think that's dumb that person. I'm more interested in that you and the parents went on a date too. Like, what the fuck did you talk about? Like, that is way more interesting.
Oh, no. I love them. They're actually, they're good friends. Yeah, they're really good friends of ours. So it was great.
Are you planning the wedding? Like, no. What are you doing?
I did actually in my mind say maybe these kids are going to be the generation that they will be like, and we met in grade school.
Yeah,
and we've been together ever since.
Oh, that's funny.
And then I had another friend go, no, don't wish that on your child. Don't wish them to be with the same person since sixth grade.
That's true. I had a therapist that was like, you shouldn't get married before 30 because you don't really know who you are. Anyway, I'm not even saying one way or the other.
I was like, that's coming from both of us who were both married before we were 30.
That's true.
And divorced.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I mean, if the fact it feels like you've taken great care in this. So if you guys had sent them, you know, for the weekend to the Hyatt, I maybe like I'll see you on Monday.
But doesn't it seem crazy to be so aggressively anti this when it's something so innocent? And
you kind of just kind of take things with a grain of salt because people are going to be aggressive and they're going to be whatever.
But
this
I would like
the world we live in.
I know. I would like to have other people's. I want to hear what you guys have to say about it.
Put your 2 cents in. You can even be anonymous. 213-259-3235.
The Motherload Podcast at gmail.com. I think it's an interesting topic. I'm in it. I didn't know I would be in it. Yeah. I had no idea my daughter would be the first daughter in her class to connect with somebody on a like, I like you, you like me. Oh, this is mutual. This is so sweet. I didn't know it was going to be my kid. Now it's my kid. And now I'm clearly setting a bar, a standard. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Send the bar.
I didn't know that anybody cared, to be honest. I just thought this was our own personal
I think it kind of
journey.
It is your journey. Yeah. I don't know why the other person cares. Maybe we should bring her on. She can talk to us.
No. That's where I'm at. So, you know, you're dealing with maybe I need to do a, you're all right, buddy.
Gotcha,
it's
buddy.
Okay. I got you, buddy.
Yeah.
I got you, buddy.
I got you, buddy.
Okay, here we go. Are you ready for some Rothy's? Because I've told you once and now I'm going to tell you twice. I am obsessed with Rothy's. I own a bazillion pairs. I have every single style. I have the sneaker style. I have the round toe style. And I have the pointy style, which is awesome because you can wear the pointy style to fancy places.
My friends have a charity called the Thirst Project and their gala. And I wore them with my formal gown. And I was doing the auction. I had to run around and go up and down the stage. And I was in my Rothy's. And I was killing it.
And here's the thing, Rothy's always comes with free shipping and free returns and exchanges. So there's no risk, there's no worries, no reason not to try them. And it's going to blow your mind about how soft they are because they're all made from repurposed plastic water bottles.
That's right. They've diverted over 35 million water bottles from landfills already and put them on your feet.
And they're machine washable.
Wait, what? I actually didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
Every time you need a refresh, you can toss them in the washing machine. I'm going to go home and toss mine because let's be honest.
I'm telling you.
Got some stinky feet.
You need to go to rothys.com, rothysdotcom
/motherload to get your new favorite flats.
They are comfortable. They are stylish and they are sustainable. Come on. We need sustainable things.
These are
in the
shoes
world.
You've been waiting for.
Head to rothys.com/motherload today.
Yeah. Why is it important that like shampoo is gluten-free? Everybody's gluten-free. I have shampoo. My pants are gluten-free. Like, I don't know.
Because everything makes you look like you're 10 pounds heavier. But guys and girls and kids alike, we have Ritual vitamins that are gluten-free.
I thought kids weren't supposed to listen to our podcast.
They're not. But in case they are, in case they're
get some
holed up in a corner.
Here's the deal. Even if you ate only kale salads and green smoothies all day long, you're probably not going to get all of the essential nutrients that you need on a daily basis.
Right. So Ritual Essentials, they have all the nutrients that most of us don't get enough of just from food.
I do only eat kale salads and green smoothies. Just
it shows. You're a tall drink of water.
Thank you. I'm in a relationship.
But here's the thing that I think is great is that I read labels like a crazy person, and all of Ritual's are vegan friendly, sugar free, non-GMO, gluten free, and allergen free ingredients, and their sources are out there for the whole world to see. They're not hiding anything.
I can't really read labels without glasses, but the subscription is really easy. It's easy to snooze it too, like, you know, because sometimes you get backed up. Not every day you take all your vitamins. Only $1 a day to have all the essential nutrients your body needs.
All right.
Every month. No strings attached.
Better health doesn't happen overnight. Nope. We know that. But right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off during your first 3 months.
Fill in the gaps in your diet with essentials for women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body.
Visit ritual.com/motherload to start your ritual today.
That's 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/motherload.
And just think about it. You could be so healthy after 3 months.
Oh my God, it's Catherine McCord.
I literally was like, oh my God, I'm like, feel honored.
Oh, you're so cute. Well, good. Well, do you know Missy Pyle? Have you ever met Missy?
Are you guys like best friends?
Yeah, Catherine and I know each other. Okay.
I thought we were best friends.
I wish that I was with you guys in person. That would be like so much more fun. I'm sorry I'm gone.
It's okay. You know what? We'll save that for the encore show. When we're a huge success and we decide to bring back favorite guests to
we'll make food together. We'll fly to Paris. We'll do it there.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
So Catherine, as you know, of course, I'm obsessed with you and everything you do with food for kids specifically.
Food is such a big deal. I mean, I'm right in the trenches of it with a 3-year-old and like, you know, you can make a delicious, nutritious meal for them and they'll just look at you and like throw it, you know, so.
Trust me, I have a 3-year-old too. I'm getting to remember all of it, but anyway, she's pretty good. But yes, I am Catherine McCord from WeLicious. WeLicious is a website that I've had for many years. I've written 2 cookbooks. I'm about to publish my 3rd coming up, and it's all about like fast, fresh, and easy ways to get your kids to be great eaters from day one and make cooking easy for you.
Amazing.
How do you get the toddler to eat the broccoli?
Let's analyze it from this point.
Okay.
Every child is different. We mm-hmm. as adults are different. Our exposure is different. So I definitely don't think that there is like a one size fits all for kids, but I can only use my own experience. I have 3 kids ranging in age from 3 to almost 12 years old. They're all, I mean, I will say like pretty amazing eaters, but they're all very different eaters. So I think that there's like different strategies that you can use. For my son, it was all about exposure, like silly games to get him to eat vegetables, or like letting him take sesame seeds or Bragg's, which are amino acids that taste like soy sauce, and sprinkling it on vegetables.
What are some of these silly games? Like, tell me a silly game, because I need your help.
Okay. So, I mean, like we play the machine game, and your mouth is the machine, and it has to like mow the broccoli, or so we'll like take green beans and just be like, nyang, 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 and like whoever can make the silliest face. Mm-hmm. And it takes it off of the eat your green bean. And instead, like kids just want their parents to be silly and stupid.
That's so
because
true.
Because that's how kids are. They're playful. So if they see their parents being that way, it's the greatest way to engage with your kids and get them to eat their vegetables at the same time.
I'll say that my daughter and I, we did green beans where we like reenacted Lady and the Tramp, you know, the spaghetti, and I would take one end of the green bean and she would take the other end and we would try and see who could get to the middle faster.
Yes, sorry. Yes, yes, that's genius.
Thanks, Catherine, thanks.
Did that work?
It did work. I mean, and she still will do it to this day if I'm game. Like to your point, if you're game as a parent, they get excited that you're willing to be silly with them.
Yeah, my daughter, the play has changed our entire relationship. The minute I start playing, she goes from no to joy and giggles.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, let's get this real. Like, it's exhausting. And, you know, don't forget, there are 21 meals plus snacks every week that you are feeding these small people. So it's like this endless, like, oh my God, it's another meal. That's why it's like one of the biggest pain points for parents. So, you know, if you can kind of keep up with it, a lot of it is just like, if you can get the behavior, if you can stick with it, they say it takes up to 14 times to get a kid to love a certain vegetable. If you can kind of stand behind it and get them excited to do it, then they're just going to start doing it. And
so
it'll
never be a battle. You got to mow your broccoli lawn 14 times before you're going to get your kid.
But don't you think as well, I mean, again, this is one of those situations that people don't talk about in the books when you're pregnant and what to expect when you're expecting, you know, all that. As a parent, we're leading by example. So if I'm eating healthy around my kid, it's going to make them want to eat healthy. If I'm drinking a Coke and going to McDonald's, my kid is going to want to be like me and they're going to want to eat at McDonald's. Now, again, I'm not passing any judgment on anybody who does eat that way, but is there something for those parents who they themselves don't like to necessarily eat healthy, but they would like their kids to eat healthy? Like, do you have tips on 3 to 5 key foods that if you can get that in your kid at one point during the day, you're going to be fine, or help us, you know, in that kind of arena.
To your point, I definitely know and think that eating is generational. I've worked with someone for many years. He's an adult. He's like, my dad ate no vegetables. He hated vegetables. And the first day he came to work with me, he was like, so let's just get this straight. I hate vegetables. Okay. And it has taken me 8 years of working with him to like get him to just try vegetables. But now he's like, oh my God, this is actually really good. So I think that when you like look at whatever those three vegetables or whatever those three foods are, you definitely want to look for things that are like brighter in color, because that's going to have like more of those macronutrients. So whether it's like pick a green, whether it's spinach, kale, chard, broccoli, pick an orange food, carrots, sweet potato, butternut squash. And like I always say, like include your kids, whether they're going to the farmer's market with you, whether they're going to the grocery store with you, let them have a little bit of control. One of the techniques we've always used is two choices. So I'm going to give you two choices. You can have the butternut squash or you can have the carrots. What's your choice? Because, you know, so much of kids, we decide where they're going to go to school, what they're going to wear. The one thing they can kind of give you the invisible middle finger on is what they eat, because that's really the only thing they're like in charge of.
What's your take on this whole concept now, this new way of feeding kids, not that soft pureed food, but actually giving them the harder food to chew on even when they don't have teeth? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, so it's called baby-led weaning. So even like with my son, I only did baby food purees. With my middle daughter, I did half and half. And with Gemma, my three-year-old, I did a lot of baby-led weaning. So I'm actually a big fan of baby-led weaning in the fact that it's like what I'm eating is like what you're going to eat. And I just cut it or cook it in appropriate size pieces. And it's a great way for babies at a very early age to like be part of the process of eating what you're eating.
Do you think that is more prep time though for parents? Could you kind of pre-cook that stuff, you know, to the right softness or texture? Is there anything about that that helps time-wise?
Truly, your baby can be eating almost everything you're eating as long as it doesn't have too much salt or sugar. Because most foods you're eating, whether it's like rice or a little pasta, some chicken, some fish, like they can be eating just like tiny pieces of that. Because it's really great for their fine motor to be able to, you know, use their hands, for their oral development to be learning how to like, you know, really gnaw on those foods. You really don't necessarily have to cook ahead too much.
Okay.
Can we talk a little bit about snacks? I'm in a place where my daughter eats a lot of snacks. She wants to snack. And it's, I started this when we were in the car, you know, I'm a single parent and like, it was just, I don't know why I was giving her snacks in the car so much, but it now she walks in the car and she's like, I want a snack. You know, we get in the car and I have relatively healthy things for her to eat, cucumbers or strawberries, or, but you know, sometimes not so healthy, but she wants snacks the entire time we're in the car. And I was just like, we have to wean her of that. I feel like.
You want the dark answer or the sunny answer?
I like both.
Okay.
Thank
so
you. I would like, thank you, Constance, if I may, interject a moment. Right.
So I'll go to the dark real quick. So the number one reason children pass away in this country, surprisingly, is choking in the car. Mm. Because, I mean, all of us guilty of it because we're always just so on the move. So by the time, like, you're on the freeway and your child, like, something goes down the wrong way, for you to get over three lanes of traffic or even notice that it's happening, pull over and see what's going on, that's, like, part of the reasoning. So, you know, you can try to scale back or just be like, we're just going to have soft things. But, like, snacks on the go, I think as much as possible, like, having those kind of Planet Box, those kind of little bento box containers where you have, again, two choices. Do you want strawberries or cucumbers? Do you want crackers or grapes, whatever it is? Trying to keep it to things that are just, like, super nutrient dense. And, like, I'm also that parent that believes that life is about balance and, like, your kid's not just going to sit around eating fruits and vegetables all day. Having special treats is totally fine now and then. But, you know, that's if you're just picking, like always thinking about nutrient-dense foods, whatever that is.
What are your top three nutrient-dense foods for kids that would be great if you could just get it in their body at least once a day?
If you can get two fruits and a vegetable right off the bat and some protein, that's such a win. So like I even put frozen cauliflower in smoothies, which seems so weird, but it's like, it's a vegetable. It's probably not a vegetable your kid would normally eat that much, but it makes smoothies really creamy.
Mm. I didn't know that. That's a fun fact, Catherine.
Yeah, like even just strawberries, frozen cauliflower, and milk in a smoothie. It tastes like pink milk. Anything that you can do to get any vegetables and change them, like even kale, like instead of kale, making them kale chips. And instead of spinach, making it like green pancakes.
What is a green pancake? What do you put it? What's a green pancake?
My kids were in kindergarten. I had to go in and create a St. Patrick's Day recipe that was really healthy. So I decided to make pancakes with the kids, and we threw in tons of spinach, like tons of fresh spinach. So you can do this with basically any pancake batter, just throw it in a blender with the fresh spinach, and it makes them bright green. That day I had three kids' parents email me to say like that their kids who have never eaten green vegetables were like begging them to make the pancakes because they were so good.
They were fun. It's also fun to see green in there, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can call them like all kinds of silly names.
And I think like just being able to say, to make it a fun. And I think what happens is you get really worn down as a parent and you get really frustrated and it's really hard to even allow yourself to play. But the minute you do, it really does change things. I mean, it really has for me.
Yeah, it's truly, it's the hardest thing ever. It is so hard. I give parents so much credit every day because especially like you said, if there were three things every day that you could get into your kid, I'm just like, if there's one thing, it's like right. Every one is such a win.
But there is, I will say, I know of a kid that the only thing she would eat was a very specific pasta with butter. And that's it. And that's all she would eat. She would eat it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. She wouldn't eat anything else. Everything had some kind of bad memory associated with it. So is there a good advice about some kind of reset, or is there anything that you have kind of noticed is a fail-proof way of trying?
Yeah, I think that, again, it goes back to like, you know your child better than anyone. We tried forever with my son to like not do any kind of reward systems. Well, 12 years later, what we know about him now is he's super motivated with rewards. And my daughter could care less. She's much more flexible in that way, you know? So I think it's like knowing your kid. And I mean, like, if there's something you say, okay, if you try a new vegetable every day for a week, you're going to get to go on a special date with mommy. Things like that, kids crave our attention and our time. So it doesn't have to be like you're going to win a new toy or get something like that. But I think that when they have something to work towards and they see the chart, you know, we're going to try this. We're going to go to the grocery. You can pick out any two vegetables you want. And like, let's learn about them and talk about them, or maybe we'll grow them or whatever, whichever your way of trying to navigate it. They want your praise also, you know, high five, you know, like you did it. Oh my gosh, you said you didn't want to and you did it. Are you so proud of yourself? I think some of those tactics can really work, especially with certain kids.
Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about something that everybody needs.
ZipRecruiter.
And here's why. Everybody at some point needs somebody to help them.
I need to hire somebody. And so I'm going to go to ZipRecruiter. Why?
Because 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
That's right. They don't depend on people coming to find you. ZipRecruiter is going to find them for me.
And that's amazing because there's a lot of people to sift through out there in life. They can figure out for you what is the best partnership.
See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/motherload.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/MOTHERLOAD.
ZipRecruiter.com/motherload.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, Missy, what are you doing?
I am literally putting some native deodorant under my armpits.
Man, that shit smells good.
It smells so good. It's coconut and vanilla.
It makes me feel like I'm on a Hawaiian beach.
That's right. I'm afraid someone's going to come up to me and just try to take a bite. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, they should. But here's the best thing beside the smell of Native. Do you know? So their deodorant is formulated without aluminum.
Easy for you to say.
Parabens and talc.
And it has nice ingredients found in nature, like coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch, which, what does that do?
It absorbs wetness, which I had no idea.
I didn't either. They would never test on an animal. Free shipping and returns.
Shipping and returns.
8,000 five-star reviews.
I love five-star reviews. If you haven't noticed, we love star reviews,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do. Please leave us a review. Anyway, it works. Making the switch to aluminum-free deodorant doesn't mean having to sacrifice on product performance. Test it out.
They also have so many other scents. If you don't like coconut and vanilla, they have lavender and rose.
Cucumber and mint.
And eucalyptus and mint.
Yeah, and this isn't just for ladies. Men can do it too.
And it's no risk to try. They offer free returns and exchanges in the USA.
What are you waiting for? 20% off your first purchase. Immediately go right now, nativedeodorant.com, and use promo code MOTHERLOAD during checkout.
Yes, for 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code MOTHERLOAD during checkout. Check it out.
Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Can we just take a minute to talk about lunches really quick? Because that was something Constance and I were talking about before you came on, and just how difficult, how daunting that is, especially, you know, you're going to start having to do it when they're three and then do it until they're 18 years old unless they buy pizza at school.
But also the pizza at school is only one day a week sometimes.
Or whatever. Yeah, exactly. And I know for me, I really stressed about it. I mean, I would wake up super early and I found myself it taking an hour to make her breakfast and her lunch. And I was like, what am I doing every day, waking up an hour earlier just to do that?
See, now I make the lunch the night before.
Yeah, I tried that, but I'm so tired.
Listen, I'm not saying that I'm not tired, but it takes the stress out of needing to get ready for school and have breakfast and get them dressed and get out the door on time. I found that making it the night before was so much easier. And I got a trick, and Catherine, I don't know if you would agree or not, but is if you cut up a ice cube and you put it in with the vegetables or the fruit, that keeps them crisp overnight and into the next day.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's like you almost use like chips. Like I cut an ice cube kind of in threes and I put it in with the vegetable. It doesn't make them soggy. It's just a way of retaining the crispness and keeping it all, you know, so that it's good for the next day.
God, you're even a better parent than I am.
Please don't.
I just make my kids lunch the night before, put it in the box in the refrigerator, and I'm like, pull it out in the morning and here we go. I mean, I don't know. That I love your strategy, though. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, it works well. I mean, because, you know, kids don't like it when the apples turn brown or the avocado goes brown. But then there's a food spray that's all natural, all organic, too, that you can spray on apples and avocados and it makes them not brown. And I think it's just a mixture of, you know, lemon water, and I'm not quite sure what the third ingredient is, but it makes the difference because, to your point, they want to look at stuff that's fun to eat. And I was talking to Missy about how before you had your books, I used to get these Japanese bento box kind of recipe books that showed lunches with, you know, a hard-boiled egg that you can make look like a cat by using seaweed ears and seaweed eyes. And I bought all the punch out things where you can punch out the seaweed. And I mean, the parents, I remember, were getting mad. They said, my kid comes home every day and says Coco had a sandwich that was shaped like a panda bear. And, you know, and it was this whole thing where I said, yeah, but you can do it too. You know, I mean, and it's so funny. And I actually miss those days of kind of making the lunch fun.
Other people's parents mad at you.
Yeah. No, they're always mad at me for some reason or another. Catherine, you do things. I was telling Missy, you know, you'd cut the kiwi in star shapes and watermelon in hearts. And I think that's going on with your line of saying, you know, playing with kids and having them be excited about opening their lunchbox.
Look, I'm like any parent in that I'm just trying to, you know, we're all just trying to survive. But I also, like, there are definitely days that I put a little more time, and I think that's just what your schedule is. But, you know, especially if you have a kid that's a little more obstinate to being like, oh, I'm not going to eat red peppers. But, like, maybe if they are in the shape of hearts, then all of a sudden it becomes the greatest vegetable known to man. So like the Wheelicious Lunches cookbook, and on Instagram, I post a lunch video every week. And it's usually just like fun little strategies, little recipes that can be used that are, they're a little bit more fun, a little bit more bright. They're themed, because I definitely think, especially, you know, for a kid that is just more resistant, that those little tips can be huge game changers. Like, just use it and make the sandwich, cut out some kind of a heart or a flower or whatever it is to, you know, cut it into a fun shape. It just makes it a lot more fun.
Yeah. And you can just use cookie cutters, right?
Yeah.
And also,
I just use regular cookie cutters.
And also, Missy, you could think about doing some with her the night before, you know?
I get really tired. And then I've dealt with the sogging factor of sandwiches or anything that I make. I can't even understand what you're talking about with the ice chips.
Okay. Well,
like, you put your, like, in the fridge and then it melts into water and then.
No, you put it on top of the vegetables and also on top of the fruit. If it's like an apple, you know, something that needs to be crunchy, it does it so it, like, the carrots don't dry out and, you know, any kind of cucumbers don't dry out.
But in
out.
The morning, it's water in there.
It's just, it has soaked into the vegetable and kept
it
crisp.
Into the vegetable, I
yes,
see.
Okay. Yes.
I put my kids' lunches in bento boxes and the night make them, you know, 8, 9, 10 at night, depending on my schedule. And then in the morning, I'll always toss apples with lemon, avocado I'll rub with lemon or lime.
Okay.
And they don't turn brown. But like you said, like, you can also, you make banana dog bites. You probably want to make those in the morning. So you can even make half of it at night and half of it in the morning.
Right. Exactly.
What are, like, just two great full lunches that you might make for your kids?
So, and instead of sandwiches, I like to do sushi sandwiches, especially for like the 3-year-old eaters. So all you do is take regular bread, you roll it out with a rolling pin, and any kind of filling, whether it's cream cheese and olive tapenade or peanut butter and jelly, sun butter, whatever you want, you just spread it in and roll it up just like sushi. You can go on Wheelicious to see that. There's plenty of recipes, but that's like a great one, because then they're just much easier to pick up and eat, and it looks a lot more fun.
Okay.
And then I always just try to switch up the fruit and the vegetable. Like, I try not to, even though she just eats the carrots, but I always say, like, you'd be shocked at what kids will eat when they're away from us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When they're with their friends and their friends are like, what's that? Even at preschool, like, it's so much fun to go and watch them eat and see their little faces looking at it. And, you know, they become very, like, proud of their lunch.
I went with my daughter to school for 3 days, you know, when she started her new preschool, and I got to sit with them when they would eat lunch as a quiet observer. And it was really fun to watch them be like, oh, I want one of those. And the teacher would be like, well, can you ask her, Zoe, can I have one of those? And, you know, they passed back and forth, and it was like watching just bartering going on as they were each, and it made them feel good. And it was really sweet. Like, they just got excited about what each other had. It was cute.
And I don't think that parents should be like scared to put in a little treat. I always think that just like a little something, a note, whether it's a little cookie or two gummy bears or, you know, whatever it is, I definitely
think
that it makes it, you know, a little bit more fun for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also had heard that sometimes you would be amazed that if you have a packed lunch for your kid and you have, like, you know, 3 M&Ms or 2 gummy bears, that more like 8 out of 10, they will eat their lunch first and then eat the gummy bears. Everybody thinks that if you put something sweet in your kid's lunch, they'll just eat that. But it's actually weirdly psychologically not true. They will be more excited to eat the lunch feeling like they have earned the gummy bear that you gave them, knowing that they would hopefully do that.
Adults and kids are very different, because adults eat because we're happy, we're sad. It's so much more psychological. As with kids, their brains are programmed to feed their bodies in a way of like what they need versus their emotions, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
How do we get back there? Well, thank you so much, Catherine. And how can people find you?
So you can go to Wheelicious.com. You can also go to Instagram or Facebook under Wheelicious. Any social media, Wheelicious.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're the best. We love you.
Thank you, guys. This was fun.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye. Okay. So I feel like there might be a lot of parents going, oh my God, that's so overwhelming. I can't do that. Why not just buy at the grocery store the prepackaged carrots and the prepackaged goldfish in a bag, and everything's prepackaged in a bag and it's easy and you just throw it all in one. And we are by no means saying that you can't do that, because we do understand that everybody's situation is different. Everybody has time or doesn't have time. What's important with this particular podcast is just knowing that if you can get one good thing into your kid's body every day, you're already accomplishing something. And if you can't, then think the next day, okay, I'm going to try and get one good thing. You know, I just think we need to not be so hard on ourselves. We're doing what we can do the best that we can with what we are given and what we know and what we come from and what we're dealing with in a kid, et cetera. And I think that we all put so much pressure on ourselves. And what I liked about seeing the Wealicious stuff was I was like, okay, I can do a certain percentage of that. I might not be able to do all of it, but I can do a percentage of it. Like if I can't go and cut stuff into shapes, I can put a note in her lunchbox and it makes a world of difference. Like I remember the first time I did it for Coco when she was in preschool and she didn't know that I had put a note in there. And all it said was, I heart you. And it like made her eat her lunch because it meant I took the time. I went in there. I did it.
I think the one thing that I felt is I think there's some resistance sometimes when you're frustrated and to being able to do little things. And you know, Amazon is a little terrifying because they're taking over everything and shutting all the stores down. But the good side of it is you can actually go in there and get a few like little, and everything's pretty inexpensive. You can get some little cookie cutters and some really fun little containers for food and maybe try it. You know, try putting, you know, my kid doesn't really like sandwiches. I didn't even know you could roll a sandwich. She was like, roll the bread. And I was like,
yeah, roll the bread.
Take a rolling pin and roll the bread. And like, I'm almost a little bit eye rolly to it as she's rolling. Cause I'm like, ugh, that's a lot, but you know, it really isn't that much. And
no, but you can also
every once in a while is kind of nice.
Right. But you can also use flour tortillas instead of bread for roll-ups.
Yeah. My kid doesn't really like flour tortillas.
Okay. Does she like corn tortillas?
She doesn't like bread. Okay.
Does, you know what I've seen using, and now again,
this but sometimes is, she does. Sometimes she'll eat bread and sometimes she won't. We're okay. Just into that kind of place.
Yeah. But this is also a different type of outer thing that you can use for a roll, which is, and I saw it on Catherine's website. I'm not going to say that I came up with it. And this is a little more work, but it is like cracking an egg and making like a scrambled egg flat, almost like an omelet, and just flipping it over onto a cutting board and then using that as like your tortilla or your flattened bread and just rolling something up in it, like prosciutto or meat or
like. Cooking an egg flat.
Yeah, but like scrambled eggs, like make scrambled eggs, like egg with salt and a little bit of cream or milk or not. I think you can do it without. And then putting it in a little round frying pan so it looks like a tortilla, right? So it's like an omelet. And then you just take a cutting board and you flip the pancake looking egg. Mm-hmm. And then you use that to roll food up in. Mm-hmm. If they don't like bread, but they like eggs, that's good protein.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
But that's really cool. Something else I want to say, yeah, I know it sounds weird, but like cutting crusts off of bread, even though we know crusts are actually where all the nutrition is, weirdly makes kids eat bread more.
I do that when I make her a sandwich. I take one piece of bread, I cut it in half.
Yeah.
And then I'll usually, she likes cucumbers and cream cheese. Mm-hmm. So I'll put that on there and then I will cut it in half or I'll cut the edges off. And she really, that's something she will, when she has said, I'm the queen and I will eat bread today. And I will do that and put it in her lunchbox. And then I'll get kind of cocky and do it another day. And then she's like, psh, no, thanks. I think we've gotten a lot of really cool ideas about things that we can do. We can, and when we get stumped, we can go to Wealicious.com or go to Catherine's Instagram page and try not to feel, you know, depressed because she's so good at it.
What I like is she said, listen, we're all doing the best we can with what we have. I mean, Catherine, or this is her job.
It's her
job.
Is her career. She makes money doing it and it's in her best interest to continue doing that. And I think, we'll see. I mean, my school actually won't let my daughter put notes in her lunchbox just yet. And I think that's probably because like one kid gets one and someone else is like, why didn't get my lunch for my mom?
Sure. So, but I would love it too if we could open it up. If anybody wants to write into us,
The Motherload Podcast at gmail.com.
if you would like to give us any tips of things that you've made for your kids that have been surefire hits, everybody would appreciate it. And then we can post about it and everybody can kind of give or take what they would like.
Yeah. And I think it's important just to remember, sometimes you can be the best earth mother and you have the greatest lunch. And then one day you forget your lunch and you stop at Ralph's and you have to throw in four packaged things. And it's okay too. And now welcome to another installment of I Confess.
What do you confess? Do you want to confess? Please, we'd like to hear it. 213-259-3235.
The Motherlode Podcast at gmail.com.
Hi, I'm calling on the line with a mommy confession. I feel awful about this, but sometimes I feel a little jealous of the caregivers, nannies, grandma, who are able to spoil my son. And then when I get him back, you know, I have to be the bad guy or the one who denies sweets or TV time or games. And I'm just wondering, should I feel guilty about that? Thanks.
Oh, I love this topic. We've all felt this. I'm going to give my two cents. First of all, one, you have every right to feel that way, because when we as parents don't feel like, you know, we need the help because we work or whatever, of course, you're going to be jealous of the people who you feel are getting the best time with them. What I've learned is jealousy of like grandparents and stuff, that we have to all get over as parents, because grandparents are an entity that we can't control and we shouldn't try and control, because they're going to learn from them different things that they would learn from you as a parent. They're going to eat different things that they get to eat with only them and not you. It doesn't mean that their time with them is better. Their time with them is different. As far as like caregivers, you don't want your caregiver to be in charge of disciplining your child, because it's your child and they are temporary. What you have to understand as a parent, I don't know how young your kid is, but everybody serves a purpose. And no matter what, your kids are always going to love you as a parent more than anybody, because you are going to be the most consistent thing in their lives. And it's okay to feel jealous, but just understand that when you are with your kid, feel that, know what that's like, and then give them of yourself the quality that only you can give them, that the caregiver doesn't and that the grandparents don't. And just know that it isn't about a snack, because at one point you will give them something that nobody has ever given them and they will remember that just as much.
Yeah. I mean, you already are giving them that. I think like the thing too, you have to remember, is like they come in, they swoop in and they're only there for a few hours or maybe a night or something. It's like, and they're able to just offer us, you know, the best parts of themselves. They don't, it's not that, you know, day after day after day. So they seem like they are swooping in like angels. Like my best friend's husband, they live next door, and when he sees my daughter, he only plays with her and he'll spend like 30 minutes with her. It is the best, most concentrated fun time. And he leaves and she's like, I miss D, and he's amazing. But then I have you for 9 hours and I have to, you know, take care of you. I have to take care of myself. I have to feed you. There's so many more things that I have to do. And it is frustrating. But I remember, like, the good news is there can never be too many people that love your kid. And that's, to me, the coolest part. If you can kind of remember, like, how nice it is that you have people that your kid just loves. And that's such a gift. Somebody once told me, when you come home, they've missed you so fucking much. You're everything to them. And that, you know, someone else has been with them, and that they kind of have to be somebody a little different around those people, and they get to finally be themselves with you. And sometimes that means a big fucking wah! And that's just because they're like letting off steam of like, oh, now you're back. My person is back. And it may not always feel the most, you know, enjoyable, or I mean, you're going to get a lot of the shit, but they're comfortable enough to give you the shit.
I have to say that I got to a point where I would get really jealous of Santa Claus. It really used to make me mad that the best gifts she got at Christmas were from Santa. And it was always, oh, Santa gives the best gifts. Oh, why didn't you guys get me? Oh, I had to ask for this from Santa because I knew you guys wouldn't get me this kind of toy. And I just kept thinking, I got you all those fucking toys.
I'm Santa.
So talk about feeling guilty. I did have that for a couple of years where what I started doing is I started separating the Santa list. She would only get like two of the things she asked for from Santa, and the other ones she would get from us because I was like, I would like some credit.
Yeah, bitch.
I would like some credit, bitch.
Santa's right here.
That's right.
Who's got two thumbs?
So if you want to talk about a confession and feeling guilty about being jealous, I was jealous of Santa Claus's love from my child.
This has been another episode of I Confess. If you like this podcast, if you're enjoying listening to it, can you just do us a favor right now? Please subscribe to the podcast and then give us a rating if you like us. Give us a 5-star rating.
Only give us a 5-star.
If not, thank you kindly and don't bother. And if you
want to. No, everybody's opinion matters. We appreciate it. We love it.
If you give us a 5 or 4-star.
Yeah. I mean, anyways. Just subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Tell your friends to review. Tell your friends to rate. And then you do the same thing for yourself and for us. We love you. Remember, you know your child better than anyone else.
And don't overthink it. You're doing a great job.
Before we go, we want to say a quick thank you to our sponsors.
Thank you. Here's a quick reminder that you too can get started for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy when you go to Talkspace.com/student. Make sure to use the code MOTHERLOAD to get $65 off.
$65 off. Okay. Yep. That is promo code MOTHERLOAD at Talkspace.com/student. Again, MOTHERLOAD at Talkspace.com/student. This show is executive produced by Constance Zimmer, Missy Pyle, and Sim Sarna. Associate producer is Daniela Silva.
Editor is Wayland Productions. Music is by Josh Cook and Alicia Eagle. This is a Cloud 10 production powered by...